Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Parkins and Spiegel, these guys are going to be incredible and amazing. And they started talking over my promo for them at the beginning of the show. And here we go, Jim. Tony! Oh, Jim, we can start the show right now.
This hour brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
The guy who most people would have agreed is the Bears' best player is struggling through two games. Pat Manley on the subject of what the hell's going on with Roquan Smith.
He looks a little heavy.
Thinking about that, so I'm always hungry to hear.
He is cut down for a loss. Roquan Smith on the tackle for the Bears. A loss of two.
I'm on a one-year deal, essentially, so I'm just trying to do everything I can to, you know, do what I need to do.
He just doesn't look like the Roquan Smith we've seen the last couple years.
Oh, a big hit by Roquan Smith.
Kushinga!
Wow, I think the hip is okay after a tackle like that.
Oh, it's big time. I've showcased what I can do year in and year out. Not having camp, you know, first two games, you know, still working my way in. But, hey, third game, normally filling myself out. So I think here on out, you can expect some big things.
Third down and one. Pierce, cut from behind. Roquan Smith everywhere today. That's his 15th tackle, and it's fourth down.
Kushinga.
I made money on it.
We think that they're going to be coached up very hard all week and come out with a renewed focus on tackling and physicality. And he is the poster child for that, because when he's on, he tackles like a beast and chases down from side to side with incredible pursuit. And him being at his best would change the run defense a lot.
Fourth quarter at Soldier, tied at 20. Snap back to Mills. Pass is tipped. Oh! Intercepted in the hands of Roquan Smith.
I made money on that, too.
Do a dance, baby! Do a dance!
Dollar bills, y'all.
I felt good enough to play, so if I feel good enough to play, I'm going to give it everything I got, because that's what I signed up for.
Bears win at the buzzer!
Even if I was paid, I felt like I would have still missed some practice this week, but that's that.
He beat me. Straight up. Pay him. Pay that man his money.
One, two, three,
and here we go, Jim.
Here we go.
Here we go, Jim.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Roquan certainly played like he deserves to be paid. A buddy texted me and he said, so let me get this straight. The Bears have one star player and they won't pay him. What the hell's going on here? Like, it's honestly a fairly compelling argument. You want to be our guest at 240? That's like a really good way to synthesize that story. What up, Speaks?
Hey, Roquan was great.
He was.
And I like the choice to go there and remind us that a football team is more than just a quarterback, Danny.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about it a lot in the offseason. These guys here, this new brain trust, they're not about just equipping the quarterback, not about just analyzing the quarterback. They're trying to build something larger, and they have a quarterback. Their beliefs on quarterbacks are not what a lot of the leagues are, right? They're zigging when a lot of the league is zagging.
Well, yeah, I mean, with the head coaching hire and all of it, but you recoiled, and then we were kind of done with transition when I said, what's the difference between 5 wins and 8 wins if you have the worst quarterback in the NFL? And I don't think that Justin Fields will end up that way. I'm not all the way out on him, but through three games, he's the worst quarterback in the NFL. Is the argument that eight wins would show that they've bought into Matt Eberflus and they maximize talent and the culture has been fixed and the bad stuff has been eradicated from the Matt Nagy era? Would that be the argument as to why that would matter?
Yeah, but it's not that it would matter on a spreadsheet. It's not that the players would look at it and say, we won eight games. I mean, I guess they'd look at it as the season passed on and they were checking it out. But these guys are trying to build a culture and build a foundation. And the best way to reinforce your principles is to show the players that you know how to win a few games. Because wins reinforce culture. And this whole debate that's going on, you know, it went on in the offseason. It's going to go on during the season. And I found myself, I caught myself doing it after halftime when he left the three timeouts in his pocket.
Yeah.
You know, and it was so clear they didn't believe in him and they also just didn't want to give him a chance. It was like, what are we doing here? I walked away angrily and I said, what do wins even matter?
Yeah.
Like I had that feeling because I got lathered up and I'm watching. But the wins is what they're about, man. And they think they need the wins to reinforce the culture of what they're doing.
They do, and there's a point of that that's true. I still think they need to, you can do both. Like in that moment before the half, you can call a timeout, draw up a deep pass play, get another rep for that, and if it's an interception and an arm punt, then so be it, you flip the field. If it's an incomplete, then you hand the ball off and you go to the half one play later, or if he completes it, maybe you see something. Like you can... you can do both over the course of the game. I think they are...
There are moments where they can do both.
Yeah, I think they are erring like on an aggressive level to the conservative nature of it, and that is bothersome and hard for someone like me who really does think that... because I'm not terribly interested in another Bears team that overachieves, plays pretty good defense... and if everything bounces their way, they can, you know, carry a quarterback to an NFC championship game and a Super Bowl appearance one time.
But looking around the league, if you don't have that guy, it is far and away the easier way to become decent and become a playoff caliber team.
I know. And maybe you'd say that I'm being like the petulant toddler here, but I don't want to. I don't care.
I know, but that's the thing. Is
there a single Bears fan out there, and a genuine question, that really is just like, man, just give me a good defense and a good running game and a chance at 10 wins, and I'll take my chances in the postseason. We've seen that 100 times in our lifetime. I can only get so excited about that, man.
I understand. But this is not... I mean, if you're a defensive player, like it's a matter of the continually shifting perspectives, right?
Right.
From the Bears fans' perspective, I get it. Certainly from the talk show's perspective and where you're coming from, I get it. Imagine you're a defensive player on this roster or an offensive lineman, okay? And you think, man, they're making a choice that doesn't put winning first. They're telling me to hustle and be intense, and they're telling me to give blood, and they're coddling this damn quarterback at the expense of winning. A player, multiple players could turn, could get angry, could lose faith, could not try as hard. And so the theory of prioritizing a quarterback above all, it makes sense philosophically and conversationally. But I get how it doesn't work when you're actually building a team from the ground up the way these guys have to.
Okay, well, so you're talking about then, because you're with what Brad Biggs said today, right, to Mullion Hall. Let's hear that, because I thought that they framed the question correctly, but I think there's a huge piece of it that's missing.
Well, I don't think you can expect players to buy in to what you're selling if your priority above all else is not winning. Okay. How do you look a man in the eyes and tell him you expect him to buy into this hits principle and he's got to be flying around like his hair's on fire if you're not also telling him that the number one objective this week, next week, and every other week is winning the football game? That just, it won't work. The whole thing will collapse. You will not have any player buy-in, and they might as well start searching for a new guy. So, and you talk about developing Fields. They're trying, and they're going to continue to try, but we're not necessarily going to see evidence of improvement each Sunday. We haven't seen it yet this season, in my estimation. Maybe we see some small things next week at the Giants. Maybe we don't, but they've got to prioritize winning, or you're going to have 52 other guys in that locker room, and more than that when you count the practice squad guys, that just are not going to buy into anything the coaching staff is selling them at that point.
I have no problem with that.
Let me say real quick, Danny, I think it would be different if Fields was their guy who they had drafted, and they could say to the team, look, we're all in this together, and if he doesn't grow, then that's not gonna work. You know, like, you need a sacrifice for that.
But I don't think anyone ever says that explicitly to a team, like, hey guys, you know, I know you're playing for your livelihood. Robert Quinn, I know this might be the last year of your prime. This guy, I know you might be about to retire. This guy, you're in a contract year. I don't think they ever explicitly say, like, we got to sacrifice things to bring this guy along. But you can be playing to win, and then in situations that are in the gray area, especially earlier in a game, err on the side of get another data point about your quarterback. I wrote down three. All right, from the first half. Tell me if you agree or disagree.
Okay.
With these three. Opening drive of the game. They're at the Texans 35-yard line. It's 3rd and 10.
Mm-hmm.
They run a draw to David Montgomery. He gains 5 yards. They turn a 52-yard field goal attempt into a 47-yard field goal attempt. Cairo Santos has proved he can make it from either distance. To me, that's a throw. A super anti-Fields person would say, but if he takes a sack there, now you're out of field goal range.
And you're not going
to
get three.
I would say to that argument, then you call a play that is a three-step drop, quick release, obvious first read throw.
Mm-hmm.
And in the headset you say, Justin, if the first read isn't there, throw it away. Like, to me, that's a throw.
Okay.
That's a throw.
I understand that entirely. And this is where their lack of belief in his ability to execute it factors in, and I think for good reason.
I think there's good reason to lack the faith in him. Clearly, he looks awful.
Mm-hmm.
I've called him the worst quarterback in football 3 times already.
I know you have.
What I mean? So, like, I'm not saying that he looks good, but part of this season, I think it's the biggest part. Maybe you think it's the third biggest part. It can't be lower than that. Part of this season is figuring out what you have from Justin Fields. At home on the opening drive of the game against the Texans, where worst case scenario, the guy takes a sack and you have to punt.
Right.
And whatever.
From their perspective, they don't think it's as high a priority as yours. But, okay. But I understand exactly that one's a good one.
Okay.
I got to say something real quick. It's what everybody's thinking. You have to stop claiming guys as your guys. I had to get it in there in the first hour. I know you've got so many more data points to do for the rest of the show.
Yeah.
I'm worried that there are going to be too many data points, and that's going to be overlooked.
All right,
stop claiming guys as your guys.
Yeah, my guys,
Justin Fields forever.
Darnell Mooney hasn't sniffed the football. Oh,
Darnell Mooney.
Did you see with the jugs machine after the
he
game?
He can't catch the football.
Jugs machine.
Go ahead with your next data point.
Yeah, but can we stop making songs about quarterbacks also, generally speaking? Because they will pick another guy next year or trade for another guy.
But I got,
so can we just stop?
No, Christ. I think Justin's got to get a song this week, man.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah,
it can't be worse than it's been, Tanny.
Right.
What can't be worse than
it's getting worse, though. I mean, that was worse than Mitch at any point.
That was the worst. That was the worst. Was that worse than Mitch at any point? Nah, because he still ran, maybe.
The guy can't crack 100 yards. 100 yards.
That was easily the worst, least inspiring day of Justin Fields' NFL career.
Do you know how hard it is to have single-digit pass completions in an NFL game multiple times? It should be impossible. Mm. It started off the season with it.
I blame the lack of a run game for softening up the defense as they run for the most yards since 1984.
We go back and look at Mitch's John Fox year and see what the efficiency compared to this year. Like, talk about trust levels. John Fox did not trust Mitch Trubisky, I don't think, really to do anything, especially anything on a football field.
Right.
But I would love to see those numbers.
I'm not even off the field. One time he needed a Coke from the mini fridge in his office. He wouldn't let Mitch go get it. Smart.
I remember that Carolina game where there were four completions with seven pass attempts.
Oh.
That was a weird one.
This is our life.
Okay, next one. Where to me this is, you could still be prioritizing winning, but you can have a reasonable, like, you could say, hey, this is a spot where we have to, on some level, see what our quarterback can do. Because if you can't trust him in this spot, then you may as well play the Wildcat. 10 minutes left in the second quarter.
Yeah.
You are winning the game.
Uh-huh.
It's 10-7. It's 3rd and 6 on your own 14-yard line.
Uh-huh.
And you hand the ball off to Tristan Ebner.
Oh, yeah. 3rd and 6 on the 14.
Explain that. He's not going to take a safety. If he takes a sack, you still have room where you're not punting it on the back end, like where your toes are, you know, your heels are on the back of the end zone.
Yeah.
Like, it's 3rd and 6. You can't throw the ball on 3rd and 6. 3rd and 6. You're winning. It's the second quarter. If he throws a pick six, you're only down 4 with 2.5 quarters left. Like if he did the worst possible thing in the world.
That's the cleanest one yet. That one's cleaner than the other one, because the other one you could question falling out of range.
Field goal range. Okay.
Yep. Yep, and they wanted to get an early lead and get some points on the other one. So, yeah, no, I'm with you. That's the cleanest one yet.
And then
they clearly don't believe in him. You've nailed it.
But
yes.
But what I'm saying is they have to believe in him more than that, even with him being the worst quarterback in the NFL through 3 games. Because you're not going to Trevor Siemian.
Yeah.
What are we doing? What are we doing if you can't have your quarterback throw the ball on 3rd and 6 from your own 14-yard line and you're handing it off to your rookie third string running back
who needs to stop returning kicks, by the way.
Yeah, it's a smaller
Velus
point.
Can we get Velus? Tristan, Mr. Ebner needs to stop.
Mr. Ebner. And then the last one is the one that everyone's talking about, the end of the half. You throw on 1st and 10 from your own 10, then Fields gets the 13-yard run. It's negated by the Cole Kmet hold, so it's 2nd and 12. You run it to Herbert, he gains 11. It's 3rd and 1 at the 19. They call the timeout with 46 seconds left. Herbert gains 9 yards.
Mm-hmm.
You're at your 28-yard line. There's like 40 seconds left. They have one timeout. That's a timeout. You call a timeout. You draw up a deep shot. They said during the week they wanted to take deep shots.
Yeah,
Houston would probably know that a deep shot is coming, but still.
That's okay.
Try.
I know.
Maybe you get some, you know, yards against a soft defense and you get Darnell Mooney going. Maybe you get some sort of confidence from your quarterback heading into the half. And then if he throws an incomplete pass, just hand the ball off on 2nd down and go to the half. But that is a clear timeout and throw spot.
You see Kyle Shanahan happily go to the half last night rather than let Jimmy Garoppolo take a shot down the field. It wasn't exactly the same situation, obviously.
Yeah.
But there was an example, and there was Chris Collinsworth saying, good choice by Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
Don't want to risk giving it up, because that's Jimmy G, who got his Orlovsky on later in the game, obviously.
But at least Jimmy G is a known thing.
They know exactly what the ceiling is with Jimmy G.
Yeah, and the Broncos are a better defensive team than the Texans, and Kyle Shanahan's got a lot more pelts on the wall.
Uh-huh.
Like, I just...
Do you think these guys know what they have at this moment with Fields, and they're not balancing... I get it. They're not quite balancing what could be balanced in your world.
That's all I'm saying. Like, I prioritize winning. In the second half, in the fourth quarter, you know, fine. It's great that you ran for all of those yards. I get that the offensive linemen are better run blockers than pass blockers.
Yeah.
I get that Fields looks lost. I'm with you on all of that. I get that culture matters. I get that you have to get these guys to buy in. And if in practice they see Justin Fields sucking and they see the offensive line be great run blockers,
uh-huh,
and then you're like, well, wait a minute.
Justin Fields gets abused in practice all week, and then we come out and throw the ball 45 times, the team will quit on you. Like, I get all of that. But third and six, dude, you're handing off to Tristan Ebner. What are we doing?
All right, good data points. good job with the data points. I think the biggest factor, though, is still stop making people your guys.
Right? Okay.
I mean, yeah, I think it's still...
Guilty. Guilty.
Still number one.
But here's the thing. I'm going to fall for the next guy.
Even the White Sox became unlikable after Danny declared them likable.
Oh, that's true. It's true.
That he's the I problem. Had not considered.
So you're saying he's the energy vampire? Maybe it wasn't Tony?
Me and Tony were having some jumbo glasses of wine this weekend. Guys got some good stories. Third and six? That's insane. Oh, that's not football.
It's just not about the quarterback only around these parts.
I know. Well, that, I do want to talk about that. The idea of like this particular fan base in this city being not happy with a running game and a running team. We'll get the calls and the reaction to that unbelievable factoid of where we find ourselves next on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Are you kidding me? Tune in to Twitch.
Afternoons on The Score.
Doug, tell us the three keys to winning football in the National Football League or in college or high school.
Three keys, and these may be the three keys of life. Run the football.
Third down and goal, 2 yard line. Blasting game. Ahead of Khalil Herbert. Reef the extra attacker left side of the line. Wesco also in motion left. Snap. Here's Herbert. Twisting for the goal line.
Touchdown.
He is in for the touchdown. Took him a while to throw the hands up, but Herbert is in. And the Bears are back in front. Khalil Herbert with the 52-yard. First down run on the first snap of the third quarter offensively for the Bears leads to him finishing off the drive on third down and goal, and it's 19-17 Bears.
Joni Ekinthere on the call. The great Doug Buffone with his key to football and life. Run the football.
It was the keys to life. It's true.
Most rushing yards in a game for the Bears since 1984. Most rushing yards through three games since 1989. Second in the NFL in rushing. And if I could generalize on behalf of the fan base, y'all still not happy. A team with a winning record running the football in Chicago. And I think for the most part, not all, not 90%, but more than 50% of Bears fans still look at this thing because you're aware of just what the rest of the NFL is in 2022 and being like, this doesn't really have any staying power.
I think that's true. From my interactions, I've heard from a couple people saying, you know, we are 2-1, or they are 2-1, or I've seen some interactions like that.
Yeah.
But I've heard from a ton of people making sure that this wasn't going to be a moral victory. That it was a victory, but not a moral victory, because they know that this is not a recipe for sustained NFL success if the quarterback is that bad, you know? Quarterback doesn't have to be that good for it to be a recipe for mild success.
Dude, if this was Andy Dalton...
Mm-hmm.
They would be much better.
Yeah, exactly.
Much better. If Andy Dalton had an offense that ran for 280 yards in a game, he would complete some play action passes.
An 81.5 quarterback rating would be a really nice fit with this offense right now.
Yeah, it's not what you want. It's not what you should settle for, but it's jarring.
It's what I thought we were going to be capable of getting from him. I have to admit.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking a lot, and I'm really looking forward to talking to Dilfer about it at 4. You know, he said, like, get him layups. Get him, wear the layups. Man, the interception on the ball to Komet, that was a layup. That was just, I mean, it wasn't a screen pass,
But it was.
But he was wide open. He was going right down the middle.
Schemed right open, first read, right in front of the quarterback.
Yeah, you know, there's like.
I want to ask him if that counts as a layup.
It's a good question.
It was right in front of him. That's a ball that if it's incomplete, it should only be because your receiver dropped it, not because you missed the throw. That seemed to be an easy enough throw that should be completed, at least the quarterback's part of the equation.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10.
Do you remember watching the end of the Cowboys and the Bengals a couple of weeks ago? And Romo was raving about one Cooper Rush throw. He was like, ooh, that's a dime right there. And what it was a throw to C.D. Lamb that he had to jump for and caught above his head. But it was between a zone coverage. It was over a guy who was in front of him and in front of a guy who was behind him. And those kind of throws, I don't know how often I've seen Justin make those kind of throws or even attempt those kind of throws. Like, he's still looking for that direct line of open, you know? And when it's got to be in between coverages or in between people or, like, perfectly on an out over a zone or that kind of thing, we haven't even seen a lot of attempts in that way, which I think might be part of why he holds it so long, is he's waiting for that kind of collegiate open directness that he was used to.
Yeah, and I'm seeing some stats going around about, like, Larry Borum and Braxton Jones's pass block win rate.
I saw that, and I had it on my list of things to talk about.
Stop. No. Come on. They're not good. Yes, he holds the ball too long, but they are giving them a ton of help. Those guys are, your eyes have to matter on some level here. But he's holding the ball too long. Guys aren't open. They're not good pass protectors. And Fields isn't getting the ball quick enough and making correct reads. But right, like, all of it can be true. There's nothing about the mechanisms of the Bears passing offense right now that are good. I do not believe that the Bears have top 10 pass protecting tackles in the entire NFL in a fifth round rookie and a fifth round second year player. No, I don't believe it. Do you?
No, but they're doing a lot to scheme him and get him help, get those guys help on the edges. They're very seldom asked to go one-on-one. I don't believe that Braxton Jones is consistently a guy who can win his pass block alone these days. No. But I do believe I've seen Justin with lots of time and just not get the ball out.
I do too.
Seen that a lot.
Okay, yeah. It's why he gets the majority of the heat, and because he deserves it. He's been bad. You were saying that some people are not terribly concerned. Zach in St. Charles on a Horizon Therapeutics Bears Monday. Zach, on my screen here, it says you're actually fine with all of this. Explain, because I'm not.
So I'm actually happy for the first time in years with the organization because to me they are very likable. Poles had a great draft with all the linemen. I love the running in defense, and Fields has proven he could make that special play when you need him to. So when you look at a stat line, to me it looks like the most comparable is probably Tebow mania. So if we're, in for a year of, Jay Field mania, I'll be all for it. I'd love it.
Are you kidding?
I think it would be fun. I think he can make that special play. I think he'll develop over time, and definitely think he can make those special plays as he's proven in week one and last year at times.
Okay. Which of the linemen is your favorite that were drafted this year, out of curiosity?
I mean, Braxton Jones is showing that he could definitely play.
See,
he can play. He is allowed to play.
See, here's the problem. Like, I understand. I mean, this can be a satisfying brand of football for me. Running it down their throats is awesome. Stealing their will, like you and I were talking about with Wani last Thursday, the incremental demolition of somebody's confidence, of a whole team's confidence, because they can't stop you on the ground. That can be satisfying, especially when it's mixed with some very simple quarterback competence. And that's a decent recipe. We just haven't seen the quarterback competence, even just the competence, man. And I know people feel like you haven't seen the shots down the field and haven't seen the attempts and everything like that, but there were lots of dropbacks that didn't result in shots down the field. Sacks and tuck and runs, lots of tuck and runs that didn't necessarily need to be tuck and runs. But it's like, if you're going to run it this well, then play action ought to yield a few shots down the field. It ought to yield some opportunities for him to show competence. And if he does, then they'll put up 24, 27 points.
Yeah. And listen, I think it's a lot of people have pointed it out. It's true. The Packers did it. The Texans did it. They're rushing hard up the field, right? They are doing everything they can to keep Justin Fields in the pocket.
Yes,
they do not want him to escape. And look, the throw that you mentioned to Komet in transition, the off-balance throw, why he did that so well, in my opinion anyway, it's because he stopped thinking.
Yeah, I think he's probably right.
Right? You're not thinking about three-step, four-step, which foot is forward, where's my check, where's my hot route? You know, it's just like, oh, this is a weird play. I'm out there in the backfields, and I'm just being an athlete, and I'm getting the ball to the guy wearing the same jersey as me.
Yeah, that's right. I'm not going to freak out about the footwork and the alignment and stuff like that. I'm just not. I just want to see him play because he's got that ability to ball out when he's just believing it. He's just clearly up in his own head and frozen right now.
Yeah, so we'll take more of your reaction. Want to talk more about Roquan Smith and why that game is potentially going to be one that we talk about come the end of the year. And yes, where I'm at with my guy, Darnell Mooney. It's all still to come before Trent Dilfer at 4 and Jalen Johnson at 5 o'clock on a Horizon Therapeutics Bears Monday on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.